The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and nfl.com/shack.
S-H-E-K, Shaq.
All right, Studio 66, ready to roll. We have a couple of guests in here for the Red Challenge Flag segment. Dan Hanzus from Around the NFL, the podcast, and the page, updating you on all things NFL. Every second, any news that breaks, they're ready to cover it for you. And also, like I say, make sure you check out their tremendous podcast available, also like ours, iTunes, Stitcher, and at NFL.com. And also, you see them on NFL Now. You see them on the Fantasy Show. You hear them here every week doing the Red Challenge Flag segment. It's Elliot Harrison. All right, fellas, we're going to get into the picks in just a second here. Real quick, though, something that I've been buzzing about for the last week or so is I observed, actually, I was watching Sunday Night Football, and that really confirmed it for me, that the Steelers have something that seems unique to me, which is that they have three players that rank in the top six at their respective positions. Roethlisberger, to me, is fifth at worst, or let's say sixth. Le'Veon Bell, I think even LaDainian Tomlinson calls him the best running back. That may be getting a little bit hyperbolic, but just the same, he does look terrific. And Antonio Brown doesn't cut the same figure as the other bona fide, you know, unstoppable wide receivers. He's not 6'5" and all that, but I think you do have to put him in there. So that makes me think, you know, just like the Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin triplets, what is the best gang? What's the best triplets we have going in the NFL? I'm going to start with you. I have my list ready to go, but I'm ready to let you guys shake me off of it. I'm going to start with you, Elliot Harrison.
Well, what's ironic to me is that the Cowboys that you mentioned, they use those triplets to dominate the league. They won 3 out of 4 Super Bowls. No team had done that until New England did it in the early 2000s. But at the top of my group, I have a tie. I cannot.
Well, come on, that's not fair.
That's not fair.
Right, yes. Out of the gate with a tie.
I got
make
a 1A
decision,
and,
boy.
I got a 1A and 1B.
Flip your coin.
I tell you what. To defer to you, I will take the Steelers number one.
Really?
Because Le'Veon Bell is so young. Was he 22 years old? And he was a young rookie. Ben Roethlisberger played at a really high level against Carolina, and I think Ben Roethlisberger is borderline Hall of Famer at this point.
Borderline? He's in the Hall of Fame. Don't worry about that.
I don't know if he retired today that he's in the Hall of Fame. But
I do.
You're projecting a little bit, which is okay, because he's going to play a few more years. Antonio Brown, phenomenal last year.
I disagree with you, by the way. He could retire today, and he would make the Hall of Fame. He's been in 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them.
Let's save that for Hall or Nothing next time we get Rod here, you know. But I have the Cowboys at number 2. And that's what I'm saying is ironic because they stink. I mean, yeah, I get it. They're 2-1. But I think Dallas is a 7-9 team this year. And I just can't pick anybody else better than Romo, Murray, and Bryant Hanzus. 3, I've got Green Bay with Rodgers, Lacy, and Jordy. Jordy probably being the weakest of those three, I would say, arguably. Mm-hmm. Arguably. Eagles, Nick Foles, LeSean McCoy, Macklin at 4. And then Bears, 5th. Cutler, Forte, and Marshall. I think Brandon Marshall could be the best wide receiver in football.
I don't disagree with that opinion, although I probably put him 1A. I still have Megatron number 1. Hanzus, how say you? Some stunning opinions shared here. Some big names left off that list.
Well, I think that your pick of the Steelers is a gutsy one, but I also think they have the highest upside right now of these triplets, especially if Bell does realize this potential. He's a rushing champion this year. Antonio Brown, as you know, Dave, we spoke about it all during the offseason, is constantly overlooked as one of the great wide receivers in football. And Big Ben is one of the top 10 quarterbacks. I know you think he's top 5. Is that correct?
I do, yeah.
But top 10 for sure. So that's a great one. I'm going with the Packers, though. I thought that was interesting, Elliot, that you saw Jordy Nelson as the weak link. And if you think that Jordy Nelson's the weak link, who my beloved Jets got torched for almost 200 yards mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago, put on display, he's another guy that gets overlooked for his ability as a big play receiver. I think he's an absolute stud. I think if he's not in the top 5, he's in the top 7 wide receivers. I think Lacy, despite his slow start, is an excellent player, and I bet he has a big bounce-back game in Chicago this week. And Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league, in my opinion. So especially if you want to weight the quarterback position heavier in these type of things, which I think you probably should, got to go with the Packers.
Let me lay this on you, fellas. And I can be shaken off this opinion, but I have the Steelers trio at number one. But number two for me, I go Peyton, Monty Ball, who's the weak link clearly in that one, and then Demaryius Thomas. And another one you guys didn't bring up yet that is at number three for me, Stafford, Bush, Calvin Johnson. We can even debate if it's Bush or Joik Bell, but either way, Calvin Johnson, the best, clearly. And Matt Stafford,
he's too inconsistent, though.
I guess you could knock that one down.
From a week-to-week basis, you could go from saying, oh, the Lions are definitely the best triplets, but then you see what Stafford will do like he's done the last 2 weeks after his amazing first week. And Bush, I don't know. Bush has always been, to me, a better name than player. I know he has skills. He fumbles too much to me and never quite has ever put it together. So I don't put him at the same level as top running backs in the league.
I looked at upside. When you sent the email about this to me, I thought, okay, well, Reggie Bush, this is year 9. You know, Calvin Johnson, this is year 8. I'm not saying they've hit the wall, but the wall may not be that far away. How much longer is Calvin Johnson going to be the 1,500-yard receiver?
That's interesting. Yeah, this
2 or 3 years. I feel like he's
right.
I could see that, but I see your point. Also.
Combined with Reggie's age, I'm talking about both of them. Two out of the three.
Well, then after that trio, yeah, maybe I should move Stafford down, but I do have Aaron Rodgers at 4. It's actually 3 straight NFC North teams, because then I go Cutler, Forte, Brandon Marshall at 5. Jay Cutler, everybody continues to talk about, even though it's now relatively far. All right, fine. He got picked off in the first game by Kyle Williams, which was weird that a heavy set interior defensive lineman is intercepting your pass.
He didn't see him in coverage.
But Jay Cutler's been terrific since then, and as I forecasted before the season, he's going to be the NFL MVP. We'll see about that, but either way, he's playing well, and Forte is dynamite, and Marshall, like you say, is up there. Then at 6, I go Drew Brees, Ingram, and a little curveball. Jimmy Graham completes the triplet there. I know he's not a wide receiver, but
kind of cheating, Dave.
Yeah,
you feel that's unfair.
But at least he and his group don't think of him as a wide receiver either. So
yeah, that's exactly.
You know who I like at the bottom of your list?
Who's
another
that?
Upside triplet trifecta? Andy Dalton, Gio Bernard, AJ Green. Gio Bernard is a guy who could potentially, by the end of the season, be a guy you see as a top 10 running back. AJ Green, we know how good he is, probably a top 5 wide receiver. And then it all goes back to Dalton right now when you're trying to figure out the AFC. How good is Andy Dalton? I'm more of a believer than my around the NFL compadres, for instance. Chris Wessling established the AD scale after Dalton scale, saying that every quarterback after Dalton is not a franchise quarterback, and every quarterback ahead of him is, and Dalton just exists in the ether in between those spots. I think he actually is in the top 12 maybe, and so that
he's
makes
not.
Them.
We counted them out here on this show,
we
named
right.
15 quarterbacks superior to Andy Dalton.
Whatever. But but I think that if Dalton – remember, he's also still very young. If Dalton makes the leap this year – they're definitely, you can make an argument for them.
Just one dark horse.
I got him at 10, by the way.
Total dark horse to me would be the Atlanta Falcons. Julio Jones is young. Matt Ryan's a really good quarterback. If Devonta Freeman gets in there and gets a chance to play regularly, I think he can be a special player. I think just a dark horse. Right now, I wouldn't put him in the top 10, those three. Obviously,
because
Freeman's not even playing.
Just to give you my top 10 to round it out, at number 6, I have Breeze, Ingram, Jimmy Graham. 7, Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Percy Harvin. At 8, I go with that Atlanta triplet group. At 9, I go with Philly. And at 10, there's Cincy, Andy Dalton, and that gang. And not until 11 do we get to your choice, the Cowboys of Romo, DeMarco, and Dez Bryant. And that leaves Tom Brady at number 12, appropriate for his jersey
tough
number.
Week for
but
Tom
that's
Brady.
Pretty bad, huh?
This has been a tough week. I feel like every time I turn around, Tom Brady is getting bagged on by someone in the NFL media group or, from outside the company. It just seems like we're back where we were around week 6 last year, I feel like, when all of a sudden there were a lot of stories like, is Tom Brady done? And then all of a sudden Gronk got back and they were tearing the league up until Gronk got hurt again. I say everybody's got to calm down. Wait till Gronk is back to 100%. And he said today, actually, he said on Wednesday, he said that, he's only played half the snaps for the for the Patriots, that he's feeling better. He's ready for a bigger workload. I think as long as that knee cooperates, that offense will get better once Gronk gets better.
All right, we're crunched for time here. Everybody's busy. Elliot is wearing a suit and tie. That should tell you everything you need to know here. So let's get to it. We'll do an abbreviated version of the Red Challenge Flag segment. Red Challenge Flag Race. How about this? Dan Hansu's filling in for Handsome Hank here. Usually fills the
seat like the
that
gray.
Hansus is in.
I like it.
Yeah. Salt and pepper.
Yeah, you got the sharp gray.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good. I was in the old makeup chair for these NFL Now hits, and they complimented my hair. I said, oh, I'm going gray.
Don't
and they
color
said,
it.
Don't dare color.
Don't color. It looks good on
no,
you.
No, indeed. Yeah, some people that
some
we know.
Some people do it right.
Well, no, some people that we know do choose to darken the grays out, and I think that's a big mistake. I it's one of my dreams. I hope I go all silver haired. I'd love to be a silver fox.
How do we get here?
I don't know. Listen, let's get into the games here. Like I say, Elliot's time is brief here. Let's go with the Philadelphia Eagles at the San Francisco 49ers. Elliot,
by the way, can I just say real quick, I don't want to step on it. I don't know how this segment works.
It's very complicated.
Should I pretend like I do?
It's everybody acts like it's the most impossible to figure out thing in the world. He's going to tell you what he thinks. If you want to throw the challenge flag at his pick, feel free to do so or keep it in your pocket.
But okay. The guy that he goes to first has to keep it short.
Okay.
That's right. Just state who you think is going to win. Eagles, Niners, go.
I got the Eagles on the road.
I am throwing the red challenge flag, taking it out from my sock, tossing it. No way. The Niners are not as bad as maybe they've looked. They're at home. They can't go 1-3. The Eagles, I'm not that crazy about how the Eagles have played to this point. I know they're 3-0, but they're due for a loss, and they'll survive a loss if they do. So the Niners need the game more. Jim Harbaugh is completely insane. I like that attitude in a spot like this. Always go with crazy.
Yeah, he's running
online.
Out the string in San Francisco before he either moves to Miami or to Ann Arbor. We'll see how that works out in January. The most important thing Hansu said, aside from the insanity angle, is the 49ers have to win. And that's what we talk about, is unless this Niners team does in fact stink, then this is a game they need to have. They can't go to 1-3.
I disagree. That's not the most important thing he said. You're talking about a guy with a Browning Nagel fat head in his room that just referenced pulling the red flag from his sock, a clear Belichick move if there ever was one. How do you do that? How do you quote your rival there?
I don't know.
The Niners will win, and Hansus is correct. Next game is the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears. Hansus, I start with you.
This will be the game we look back
no,
on.
No.
Oh, you just got to be.
You assert your team.
I believe the Green Bay Packers will win the game.
You know, I'm going to do what Hank always does.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my red flag in my pants, Dave. I'm going to go with you. I think the Packers are going to win this game. Eddie Lacy, this is the game that he comes back, and he's going to torch them for 135 yards on the ground. More balance offense.
I agree with
that. Rodgers doesn't have to win the game himself.
I got the Packers, too. And I think Eddie Lacy has a big day, but this is one of the two toughest games to call.
It's tough.
Or two or three. Real quick, let's get let's jam a couple more in here. Elliot Harrison, the Detroit Lions at the New York Jets. This is the opposite of the Denny Green we thought who they are who we thought they were game. We don't know who either one of these teams are. The Lions torched in week one. The all-time offense. Since then, they've scored a combined total of 17 points on offense. The Jets could have won all three of their games, but here they sit at 1-2. Make your pick.
Thank God you went to me first because you took all the meat off the bone for analysis purposes. I'll take Detroit on the road.
Flags out again.
Yes,
I knew it.
Hansus, he gets
it. This time out of the pocket like Rexy does it.
Hansus gets drama. You need conflict for drama.
Honestly, the Jets, I don't know. I get sucked in because I am a Jets fan. But honestly, this team played horribly on Monday, almost won. I kind of like how they play at home now. It's not like the same old Jets. Overall, Monday notwithstanding, I think Geno bounces back. I think Stafford struggles and gets beat up by that Jets defensive line. I think Calvin Johnson's going over 100 yards, but it won't matter.
Interesting stuff. And by the way, I texted you on Monday night, Hansus, to express my sorrow for you because it shows my empathy as a man, as a human being, you know? Mm. Yeah, we're colleagues, but you know, before anything else, we're human beings, you and me.
I thought you were going to say friends, but okay. I'll take human beings.
Don't push it. But I'll say this. I felt sorry for all Jets fans. That was a fumble and should have been a touchdown before the
disgusting.
Half. And the obviously they got the ball, but that wasn't enough for that. You get that touchdown.
20,
it offsets the pick six. Everybody keeps saying, even Jets fans say, well, but Geno did throw two terrible picks at pick six. Yeah, it offsets the pick six then. And basically, you know.
Geno was going to blow that game either way, though.
What?
There was just
the
Geno coaster.
I would do at this moment.
All right, one more tough one. This is another tough one. And then, Elliot, you're going to run, and Hanzus will blow through the rest of them real quick here. The New Orleans Saints at the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys sit at 2-1. Saints, I've been saying this now. I had the Saints as my number one seed. And like the late, great Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I'm worried about the Saints. They can be 3-2 going into their bye. But go ahead and dig up what they've got on the other side of their bye. It's not like they have a three-game stretch. It is 2.5 months. They have a 10-week slate. There is no gimme on it. It's really rugged. They better win this game. Hanzus, how say you?
They won't win the game.
Oh, my.
Cowboys hold court at home. Take down the Saints.
Boy, if that's true, the Saints are in trouble. EH, how say you?
I'm going to have to pull out my flag and throw that on you. I don't see that happening. Right.
Handsome Hank may never be welcome back with all the disagreements we have.
I tell you, I just don't think the Cowboys are going to be able to get to Drew Brees, so he's just going to sit back there and pick them apart. I think it's a shootout. This is a 34-30 game.
I got it 45-38 Saints.
I think you could see a game like that, but keep in mind the Saints are not even close to the Saints on the road. We wrote a post on Around the NFL yesterday. I believe they're 6-12 in their last 18 road games, and they average about 26 points a game, or they a far amount of points less than they do at home. They're totally different team. I think the Cowboys,
but did you go
well.
Inside those inside numbers and look at when they're in the dome or the semi-dome or whatever you call what Dallas has going now on the fast track? I'm sure they're quite a bit different than they are when they're in, you know,
I don't think
Chicago.
It's all weather. I think it's something to do with that building.
America's Dome.
And by the way, Drew Brees also is from there, so, you know, that return home. I guess that's either feast or famine. Either you rise because you're excited and you have a huge day, or people coming, you know, friends and stuff like that to watch you play, although he's, you know, old enough now.
Since I picked the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Could you do your Jerry Jones voice congratulating me on that?
I'm going to think about that one.
Okay.
Mo Claiborne, you want to talk about before you get out of here, Ellie, real quick. What's Jerry? What was his conversation like with Mo Claiborne?
We like what you bring to our team. You remind me a lot of myself and Doug Free, two guys just working, and want to send you home with the Papa John's pizza. Want you to be happy. And come back here tomorrow and work that cheese off. And, hey, you and Skandrick are going to be like the two best friends anybody ever had.
All right, there he goes, the great Elliot Harrison. As you get up to take off your headset, the other tough game. Well, there are two other tough ones. That's the one I'm looking at. Who do you got in that one, EA? You got the Ravens? Hanzus, how say you?
Flags out.
All right, Hanzus. I disagree with you. I got the Ravens in this one. Let's remember, too. As Elliot walks out, I'll start to make the case for the Ravens against the Panthers. You know, I know we've seen now 3 weeks worth of action, but still, we're putting so much stock in these results, and in the results, not so much the deeds. The Panthers, they beat a crummy Bucks team in week one, so it's kind of, all right, that's fine. You want to win games in the NFL, and that's fine, but it's not like that's a banner victory in hindsight. They got whipped at home by Pittsburgh. And so their one really good victory is at home against Detroit. The Ravens are on a little bit of a roll, somehow have found motivation from all the off-field nonsense.
Do you really believe that? I don't know.
That's right. That's a narrative. That's right.
Yeah.
And the reality could be that the Ravens, you know, they double up the steal. They beat them by what? They beat them by 14 or more than that, 17, whatever the final was. What was it, 23-6 or something like that? Anyway, things broke right in that game for them. There were a couple plays away from the Steelers at least being right in that one, and then that wouldn't look so good. And really, the Ravens maybe should have lost in Cleveland on Sunday. So this is another one of those, who are these teams? We don't know for sure quite yet. I'm going to take the Ravens at home.
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying. I think both these teams are similar, like you said, to the Jets and Lions, are kind of tough to figure out at this point. But I think the Sunday night game for the Panthers is one of those classic games where it just kind of got away from them, and little Murphy's Law took hold. And I think their defense is too good. I think the loss of Dennis Pitt is a big deal for the Ravens.
Agreed.
I know Steve Smith has done a great job stepping up and becoming a big part of that offense, but it's going to take some time to figure out. Owen Daniels is not going to be the guy. So I like Cam Newton another week with his ankle rest. I just like the Panthers. They were the team of ATL in our podcast last year. We were thinking about supporting them again this year because they're fun to watch. They got players. I think they come out with the win.
And you mentioned Steve Smith. That's right. Talk about a guy who plays with a chip on his shoulder. We identify those guys who – and the guys who do that in sports well, the entire Seattle Seahawks do that well, and no wonder they're the world champs. Steve Smith is one of those guys too. He's going to have the biggest chip of all time. He's going to have an entire potato. Not because when they say chip, what kind of chip are they talking about? Is it a potato chip?
I honestly always saw
it
as
one of those – casino chip?
The people that don't have actual front lawns and they cheat instead of grass, they put the wood chips on to cover it up. Maybe that's a Northeast thing. Well, you're from the Northeast. You know
chip
what I'm talking
on
about?
Your shoulder. What does that? Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But
one of those is how I pictured it.
A chip on your shoulder. But why would you have a piece of wood on your shoulder? But then again,
I think
why
that
would
expression
you,
should be
why
retired.
Would you have a potato chip on your shoulder? It's the same thing. Equally nonsensical. But Steve Smith, either way, 30 catches, 300 yards. He looks to torment the Panthers all day long. Joining us now, NFL media researcher extraordinaire, a big star on last week's podcast. He joins us once again, Drew Christensen. What's the poop, fella?
Guys, what's going on?
Yeah, nothing. Well, we're getting ready for football.
You invited me back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So real quick, we're blowing through the games here, and then we're going to get to your stunning stats.
Let's do it.
Do we have a name for that black tie behind the glass? We got to. I don't want to call them mind-blowing stats. They are.
Why not? They're mind-blowing.
Because that's already – somebody else already uses that as a title.
Stats of the week?
I don't know. We'll work on that, but let's get through these
mind
games here.
Mind-expanding stats?
I make my picks for you. I've got D.C. at home. We're recording about an hour before kickoff there. So we take D.C. against the Giants. That seems like an easy one. I'll take the Dolphins in a neutral site. And I think that Ryan Tannehill throws for about 270 meters in that one, no matter what Joe Philbin did. I think Pittsburgh wins at home against Tampa. And that is my eliminator pick, my suicide pool pick this week. But if you think that one's going to be a walkover, I think you are incorrect about that one. I definitely straight up would rather take face Josh McCown as a Steeler fan than I would Mike Glennon. I think
I can see Glennon being a little frisky.
I think he has a good game.
Yeah.
I think he's going to put up a number there, but I think the Steelers will pull that one out. But, man, I'm telling you, I'm tempted almost. I just said it's my suicide pool pick. But I also am tempted to take the Bucks in that one.
Lost 10 straight in September. The Bucks, it's the longest
All right,
straight.
But that's I know you don't say like, oh well, that trend's going to break if it's a downward trend. That's a bad idea to try and buck that with your pick. But eventually they're not going to lose every September game they ever play.
Well, here's one too. To give you hope about this Buccaneers defense is weak deep down the field. They're allowing 76% of passes thrown 15 yards. Downfield
Whoa,
to be completed.
Fun
and the Steelers
one.
Do have Antonio Brown, who has the third most receptions at that length in the last 2 years behind only Calvin and Jordy.
Next up.
Wait, can I just ask you guys both a question?
Please.
Dance-off between Eli Manning and Mike Glennon. Who wins?
Ooh. Who? And
Urban dance-off.
As a side question to that little offshoot is whose face – looks less like that of an NFL quarterback's.
Glennon's all time.
Glennon is probably top three all time, but Brian Hoyer's in the conversation as well.
Eli did.
They don't have the leading man, mug.
Eli did drop the funk in his commercial with his brother.
He did.
He might be able to cut some rug.
Yeah, he's got some experience in the area. That's a good point there. Yeah. But then Glennon's closer to his college days. I'm sure there were some late nights, or at least a couple of late nights. He was at a frat party. You know, things got loose. Maybe Glennon got loose. I could see him using those limbs.
Yeah.
You know, even if he didn't intend them to move in the direction that he swung them, I could see it amounting to something that was compelling to look at.
And you brought up Hoyer. I like to think of him as very blue-collar, almost like the Springsteen of quarterbacks in the NFL. I could see him maybe dancing like Bruce in the Dancing in the Dark video with Courtney Cox.
or like Courtney Cox in the video.
Yeah.
Next up, the Tennessee Titans at the Colts. We'll be quick on this one. We'll take the Colts at home. They need that one. They got to even their schedule at 2-2. Drew, do not wait for me. Jump in with anything you want to say on
these
games.
Here's just a fun nugget that means nothing. The Colts leading rusher the last time the Titans beat him.
Colts leading rusher when the Titans won
the
game.
The last time the Titans beat the Colts.
Edgerrin James.
Correct?
Curtis Painter.
Whoa.
79.
The great Curtis Painter. Detroit Lions at the Jets we picked. We took the Packers over the Bears. I think that one's a really close one. Ravens at home. How about this as a tough game, Hanzoos? Mm. Bills at Texans. Both teams 2-1. Neither one a world beater. Although, if you look at how the standings are shaping up now very early in the AFC, who's going to get that sixth wild card? Maybe it's – before the season, I don't remember – I picked the Steelers and the Bengals. But, you know, maybe the Ravens sneak in there. And even the Browns, if things break just right for them, they could – both wild cards could come out of the AFC North. And, by the way, my statement that the AFC North is the best division in the NFL doesn't look so silly anymore now, does it?
Mm-mm.
There's no fourth-place team as good as the Browns anywhere else in the NFL. I'll take the Bills on the road in this one. How say you, Hanzoos?
I'm taking the Texans, and I just like the Texans. I think they're going to be a team that might even be hanging around in the divisional race with the Colts by the end of the season. So I feel like this is a game, if that's going to be the truth, they're going to win at home. Kind of like the Ryan Fitzpatrick revenge angle on the Bills, too. I can see him playing well.
I do like that.
With those type of stakes. Arian Foster is questionable, I believe, to play in this game, or could end up being at that designation.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Well, I will say this. You know, I talk about the Jenga theory a lot. The player that, you know, every NFL team is going to lose players over the course of the season. If you take the wrong piece away, like in Jenga, the whole thing can implode. Obviously, if you take away any team's quarterback, that'll happen. But non-quarterbacks, Arian Foster perhaps is more significant than J.J. Watt. If only because J.J. Watt was out there all last year. They went 2-14. He was healthy and dynamite. It didn't make a difference. Arian Foster, though, missed almost all of last year. They stunk. They go 2-0 with Foster in the lineup. Then they lose a game they shouldn't really lose last week with Foster on the shelf.
And Bill O'Brien said today that Foster probably will end up being a game-time decision. So you don't know what's going on. It's a hamstring issue.
All right. We'll definitely take the charge. Oh, yeah, you wanted to jump in there?
No, either way, the Bills lose because – you know, they either lose to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they're still a team that paid him $60 million. So either way, it's a loss.
I'm glad you're here to make sure, if nothing else, that no one ever forgets that that the Bills made that decision. And by the way, how good would the Bills be? I should really look this up. I thought this in the car to myself yesterday as I drove. What would the Bills be if they hadn't burned the first-round pick on E.J. Manuel? Who do they take there? Who would be their quarterback right now? Because they've made a lot of great decisions, obviously. They're set on defense. On offense, they're loaded as well. The questionable choice is E.J. Manuel. If you replace him with a better choice, you would be saying, oh, well, definitely they're going to beat the Patriots. As it is, they still have a shot to beat the Patriots out this year for the Eastern Crown. Falcons at Vikings. I'll take the Falcons. I do like Teddy Bridgewater in the dome there. I think he has a decent day. We take the Niners at home against the Eagles, Saints on the road at the Cowboys, and the Patriots to beat the Chiefs. Any disagreement along the way there, Hanzoos?
I got the Chiefs.
Do you now?
Yeah, I'm a little insane with my picks this week.
I like it.
With the We Track It, the Around the NFL group, and I have four what we call hero picks where I'm the only one picking one of the teams, and this was one of them. I'm not impressed by the Patriots yet. I think they have a lot of issues going on. I said earlier that I think Gronk will eventually get back to being Gronk, but he's not there yet. And I could see the Chiefs getting up for that game and putting some points on the board, and I think that'll be an upset of the week.
Is Bernard Pollard playing? Do you guys know?
That would be bad news.
I think Brady's all right.
Yeah, the Bernie Pollard Bowl. Very good.
He's 5-1 on a Monday Night Football since 2010, by the way, Brady. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, they're going to win that game.
Although, you'll all see. I'll show all of you.
Well, Jamaal Charles looks like he's ready to go, and it's a recurring point that we make on the show is that for whatever good you have to say about the Pats, stuffing the run ain't one of them, and Jamaal Charles might gash him pretty good. All right, Dan Hanzus, one of the heroes of the Around the NFL page at NFL.com, and, of course, doing the podcast, gangbuster stuff there. Now also, just like the DDFP, available, or at least segments of it, available in video form. Make sure you're looking out for those on NFL.com and NFL Now. Dan Hanzus, all the best to you and to your Jets at home this weekend in a big
one. Thank you,
sir. They lose that one, they're done, though, right? They might be fourth place in your bum division.
Potentially. Yeah. The wheels could fly off if they blow this game.
All right. There he goes, the great Dan Hanzus. All right, Drew, let's wrap it up here. And before we get to the other great stat you have, your thoughts on my triplets list here that we went over a little while ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to be called a homer. Because I have the Steelers at number one. But, who would be better? Peyton's gang, maybe? I don't know who else you would put ahead of them.
Well, I don't remember who it was, if it was Dan or Elliot who threw out the Packers. But if you look at, Jordy Nelson being a weak link, come on.
I didn't say it.
He's pretty good.
I think it was
EH said that.
Elliot,
I thought that was
it,
pretty
right?
Ridiculous myself.
It's
Jordy Nelson,
I mean,
a weak link? Are
come
you
on.
Kidding me?
What? He had 200 yards in week two. It's
I know,
absurd.
But, it is – I always say it about Aaron Rodgers. Whoever is lucky enough to catch passes from him is going to be productive. Would Jordy Nelson – what do you think he would do if he were on – but if Jordy Nelson – was a Jet. What would it? What kind of numbers?
But we're judging
put
them as triplets, not as.
You're right.
Individual.
Okay, I'm just always curious about how he ranks for people, and I think Jordy Nelson would be good. Well, and I throw out the Jets. I throw out one of the lesser QBs in the NFL. Like, if he was with Alex Smith, I think if he was with Alex Smith, he'd be dynamite.
Yeah. Well, you can also play that game with how good would Andrew Luck be, or how good would Russell Wilson be if he was with the Colts, if, Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson switch.
I love playing that game.
Are we playing that game?
Well, no, we're playing the the triplet game right now.
Don't get locked in, Drew.
Yes, don't get sucked into my thing. Well, first of all, let me throw out my bottom five here. How do you feel about this? At number 28, Drew, I go the aforementioned Geno, Chris Ivory, Eric Decker trio.
Mm-hmm.
At 29, I go Blake Bortles, who I think is going to be dynamite, but for the time being, we don't know. And then Toby Gerhardt and Marquise Lee, underwhelming with those two. At 30, I go the Vikings, Bridgewater, Matt Asiata, and Cordero. Ooh. I'd like to go with Cordero higher.
Can you just go Cordero?
I know. That's what I was saying. Like, the running back thing is bad. By the way, we'll get to it at some point, and this is not at all, what's more important. Obviously, I certainly agree with what the Vikings did with Peterson, but I think in our rush or the way the news cycle works or whatever, Adrian Peterson had a shot at breaking the all-time rushing record, and that's now gone. I find that a fascinating thing that we've sort of turned the page, and I agree completely with it. I think everybody is morally right about what they're thinking, but it's interesting that even if Adrian Peterson plays again, that is an unlikely thing that he'll ever do, is break Emmitt Smith's rushing record. I've heard virtually no one really point that out, and probably because it's not as important as the real life stuff, but just the same, interesting that such a significant player in NFL history is now lost a shot at that. Next, I go at 31, Derek Carr, MJD, James Jones, or you can put Darren McFadden in there. I don't care how you want to do that. I still don't know how
doesn't,
you argue
doesn't
against
matter.
That.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
And at 32, bringing up the rear, triplet, Sam Bradford, Zach Stacy, Brian Quick. Did I get that right, or should it have been the Raiders?
Where do you have the Titans in there?
Just above that group we just went
They're
over.
27?
27. I go Locker, Sankey, Kendall Wright. Kendall Wright's good, and Sankey might be good. Sankey looks like he's going to be something.
Okay.
No? You think I should have him lower down, huh?
Well, I mean, at this point.
Behind who, though?
We're splitting hairs.
You're right. Well, who would you have me push him below?
I think that the collective Chris Ivory, Eric Decker could go above them.
Hmm.
Does Geno bring them down that much to put him below Jake Locker?
Maybe you're right. And Geno hasn't been bad.
He's been okay.
By the way, now I'm bouncing around in the middle of the pack because we didn't mention them yet. Some people might be surprised. I have the Niners at 13, which might feel low to some people, but Cap, Gore, Crabtree. Instead of Crabtree, I almost went Vernon Davis there too. I think he's the more significant item more than Crabtree. And at 14, I have Phil Rivers with Ryan Matthews and Keenan Allen. And then finally, Andrew Luck, because you have Ahmad Bradshaw and Reggie Wayne. And after that, it's all, you know.
So you went Ahmad instead of Trent Richardson.
Yes. That's the right thing to do, isn't it?
Yes.
Give me your top, because you are driving yours off purely numbers, which is probably the better way to do it. Mine is just responding to what my gut tells me to say.
Well, obviously, I can't really factor in the quarterback in a lot of these when you look just stat-based. But top five in terms of the highest percentage of a team's yards by their leading rusher and receiver, DeMarco and Dez, number one.
Hmm.
They account for 55% of the Cowboys' yards. Then you got Lacy and Nelson at two, Monty Ball and Emmanuel Sanders at three, Rashad Jennings and Victor Cruz are all the way up at four, and then your number one, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, are number five.
So you're gonna hide behind your numbers. Is that what your gut tells you, though, Christensen? Be honest with you. Start from there. Is that how you feel?
No, my number one would be the Packers.
Packers number one.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm not going to argue with you about that one. Aaron Rodgers, to me, still is the best. But Jordy Nelson isn't a top five receiver. Eddie Lacy, I guess, is pretty close to the top five among the runners. Yeah, that's a pretty strong one there. I think it's interesting that it yields, that my list at least, that three of the top five triplets are all NFC North teams. Because I go three Detroit, four Green Bay, five Chicago.
You know, that tough NFC North, all about the defense and the running game.
I know.
Suddenly not so much.
And it's hard to really say that when we're not even a week removed from Aaron Rodgers and Matt Stafford combining to score, what was it, 17? I think it was 17 offensive points.
Yeah, I fell asleep.
All right, let's get to Drew Christensen's the stats of the week or whatever black tie. Super stats. No, that's not good. Fun.
Before we hop in, here's a little interesting one that I wanted to get with Hanzus here, that Geno has never lost back-to-back home games as a starting QB.
Wow.
And Stafford has lost four straight on the road. So
it's a keen one.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, which trend there emerges. But some of the other
I like that one. When people do trends, though, they're like, do you know that the Titans, when they lose on a Monday night, haven't come back, and they're 1-17 lifetimes. Like, well, none of those guys were even alive.
Exactly.
Those kind of numbers are hooey and applesauce. That one, Geno's only, you know, 19 games into his career.
Yeah.
So that one's a workable one. All right.
So the Detroit Lions, as a Lions fan, this might not be interesting to you.
Play it on me.
The Lions have had the ball in third and four longer 36 times this year. And only one of those plays has been a designed run. They've run the ball, Stafford scrambled, and they've knelt down. On third and six, they've passed 100% of the time.
Does that surprise me? No. Teams nowadays, it used to always stun me when you'd see teams in third and two and they'd line up in the shotgun. But now it's just par for the course. No one ever runs when it's more than third and four, I'd be stunned to see almost anybody try a draw or something else there.
Really? You don't think that's a tell at all?
I do think it's a tell, but I'm just reacting to what I see. Every team works out of the gun, it seems like, in third and four or longer. They rarely run a draw anymore. I think it's to the detriment. I like when Russell Wilson does some of the stuff that he does, when they do little design rollouts for him in those situations so he has a chance to run it. But most teams don't do that. I wouldn't think Stafford, they're going to get him moving around. So
no, I think you got to back like Joik Bell, take advantage of him.
On third and four.
Why not?
All right. Interesting.
It would clearly be a surprise.
All right.
Last week, Donald Brown had 31 rushes for 62 yards. He averaged 2 yards per rush.
Craziness. 31 carries. When do you see that anymore?
It hasn't happened to a Charger since LT. only the third player in NFL history to have 30 rushes in a game and average 2 yards or fewer per rush.
Oof.
The other two were Edgerrin James.
Oh, I thought you were going to let me guess. I was going to guess Franco Harris for one.
Well, you can guess the other one. Edgerrin James with the Cardinals in 2006. The other one, you got to go back to the 1950s.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know if I can name anybody from the 1950s.
Eddie, how could you forget the Eddie Price performance in 1951? 32 rushes, 47 yards.
All right, that, for future reference, Christensen, maybe you haven't heard me say this, I don't care about anything that happened pre-60s. Okay. AFL, Super Bowl era, 50s, that doesn't count. Nobody get, the people that were playing the sport were essentially me and you. The equivalent of you and me were NFL football players.
Okay.
The sport, football, I mean, baseball and boxing, they were way bigger. This was a fringe sport at the time. The best player, the best athletes weren't doing this.
Here's one on the what do you want me to say?
Another nice. I like that you just accept. You heed my rule and you move along. Yeah. That's, you see, Black Tie, that's the way it should be. You don't get. Oh, but no. I'm just going to move along. That's
come
a great
on, player. What's that? What's up with that?
So the Teddy Bridgewater era beginning.
Yes.
In Minnesota, the last quarterback for the Vikings to start 16 games in back-to-back seasons. Who you got?
What, as a rookie?
No, just period. The last time the Vikings had a quarterback start every game in back-to-back seasons, which obviously they're going to hope that now the next, 3 years.
Well, I'm not going to ask you for the years on that because that would tell it to me. I'm going to say 16 games, so that's 78. You can't go back any further than
that.
No,
just every game. Doesn't have to be 16.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Oh, okay. So now that throws me a little bit of a curveball. I'm going to still say Tommy Kramer.
Fran Tarkenton.
It was Francis.
1972 and 1973, the last time the Vikings had a QB start every game.
Wow, that's back something,
years,
huh?
It's the longest.
I was surprised to hear the other day, Ben Roethlisberger's only made it through an entire season, I think twice now, out of 10.
Well, they're not in the bottom five. The other teams here in the bottom five, the Chicago Bears haven't had a QB do it since 76, 77. The Browns since 80, 81. The Rams, 91, 92. In the Bucks, Trent Dilfer, 97-98.
Wow. Interesting stats.
It's been a while.
So does that wrap up the unnamed stats segment?
What else you got? You got anything else for me?
No, that's it.
That's it.
Well, here's a cool one. I think I don't have the year or anything, so who cares? But in 1995.
I remember well, I was seven.
In 1995, I believe the year was, and I think it bleeds into the following season, the Chicago Bears offensive line didn't have a holding call against it for 16 games. That's remarkable, isn't it?
Okay.
That drops my jaw. How did an entire offensive line not get called for holding over the course of what amounts to a full season?
I tell you what, if you invite me back next week, I'll follow up on that for
see
you.
See if that's true.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll find the fact that it wasn't true, because when I tried it, I thought this was a true one, that since the Patriots of '03, no team has started off worse than 3-1 and won the Super Bowl, but I put that out on Twitter and people quickly said, oh, the Giants were 0-2 in '07, and then I felt foolish.
Well, that's what you have me for. Ask
and
me.
And then, that's exactly right, then I made myself feel better by thinking, that's not my bailiwick. That's why we bring in Christensen. All right, so that's it for this week. We'll be back on the other side of the games for you. And, of course, yes, the Sheck Report is back. It goes up every Tuesday night. Be on the lookout for that. And for the spoiler alert, we'll be out for you in front of the games to review the picks and not just tell you who we're picking, but to give you the exact score and the leading performers, the individual performances. That's available for you at NFL.com/Sheck, S-H-E-K. Thanks to Elliot Harrison. Thanks to Dan Hanzus. Thanks to Drew Christensen and the Black Tie behind the glass. By the way, kudos to Black Tie. He's an Emmy winner now. I don't know if you heard the news. He won an Emmy with Carmen Dukes and that whole gang from NFL.com. So kudos to all those people as well. And Black Tie with that, plus his Stitcher Award for Best Podcast, which we won 2 years ago.
2012.
His
yep.
desk is getting so crowded. I don't even know what he can do with himself.
And his head's getting big.
Oh, it was already big. Oh. It was already gigantic. I can't imagine, though, what it's going to do to him now. So, all right. Oh, and also, one more thing, NFL.com. Be on the lookout because, like I mentioned earlier, Dave Damaschek football program. Around the NFL, Move the Sticks podcast, Coaches Show, the College Football Show. We're now putting out videos from Studio 66. Maximum strength! I don't want to call myself a Papa,
or
a proud
just
pop.
New Studio 66.
You don't have to say that every time. But I feel that this is great that we're now pushing out videos from this little thing that we started doing a few years ago. So, all right, so be on the lookout for all that stuff. Enjoy the week four games. We'll be back on, I guess, Monday evening to review them for you and start getting you ready for the week five games. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.